Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9, and Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. Central Sunday morning service for the 28th of September, 2025, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Our second text is from Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 33 to 39. Listen again for the words. Word of God for you and for me. And then they said to Jesus, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, you cannot make the wedding attendants fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And then he told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it onto an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says the old is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, this is my first official sermon as your plain old, not designated pastor. And thank you to all of you. You know, when I first came to Central, I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, not really, right? I had an idea, but when you get someplace new and you're looking around, you're scanning the room, and you wonder, will I fit in here? Is there a place for me? Will I belong here? And then something happened, and it wasn't a grand gesture. It was the small things, really. It was a hug at the door before I even knew your name. It was just like knowing my name. It was knowing there was a seat saved for me. The first meal that I shared here with y'all wasn't about food. It was about being seen and being known. And my first time in worship with the peace cranes and the choir, y'all, when you first started singing, I had to turn around in my little chair and like look, because it felt like you were singing just to me. And I remember that day, my first day in worship, the feeling of sitting in the sanctuary for the first time and realizing this isn't just a church where people talk about belonging. This is a place where belonging is made real. And friends, that's why I'm here. That's why I've said yes to serving here, to dreaming here, to pouring my heart into this community, because I believe with everything in me that the welcome that I felt that first day and that I felt every day since is the same welcome God wants for the world. And our text today give us two images. Isaiah's banquet on the Holy Mountain and Jesus' vision of a wedding feast. Isaiah paints a vision of abundance, rich food, well-aged wine, tears wiped away, death swallowed up forever. And the guest list is all peoples. No barriers, no nation, no class, no gatekeepers at the door. The God of Israel spreads the table wide for the whole world, and everyone belongs. But Isaiah's vision is not just an abstract theology. It's embodied and textured and full of sensation. So if you imagine with me the tables groaning under the weight of platters and the fragrance of herbs and spices drifting through the air, and the glasses clinking and lifted in joy, and the sound of laughter rising from every corner. There's no scarcity, No one's guarding the door. No hidden hierarchy about who gets the best seat. It's a feast where the bread is still warm, where the wine has aged long enough to be smooth and generous, where tables stretch as far as the eyes can see. And then Isaiah dares to add, and the shroud of death will be lifted. Picture the relief of a long-held grief finally released, the tears on your cheeks gently wiped away by a hand both tender and steady. The air feels lighter, kind of like walking out of a funeral home and stepping into sudden sunlight. It's God's imagination for the world. Abundance and joy that is not fleeting, but eternal. A table where no one wonders if they belong. A party where no one's left out. This is belonging made real. And then we turn to the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is asked why his disciples don't fast like others, and his answer is stunning in its simplicity. Can the wedding guests fast when the bridegroom is with them? If the kingdom of God is like a wedding party, there is joy, and there is music, and there is dancing, and Jesus is the bridegroom who has come to gather his friends, and everyone belongs, even tax collectors and sinners and outsiders. But then Jesus goes on to tell this little parable that at first sounds like a real change in direction. The one that's about patching garments and putting new wine into old wineskins. He's not giving laundry tips, nor is he teaching a winemaking class, although I think he could. He's talking about what happens when the Spirit brings something new, something different, and our tendency to just try to patch it onto the old. Little fix here, little tweak there. But then he says it doesn't work, right? It tears, the wine spills, the skins break, and I think belonging is like that. You can't just add it on as an afterthought, because real belonging reshapes the container. When new people and new stories and new movements of the Spirit come at us, they bring new wine, alive and expanding and sometimes unpredictable. And to be able to hold that wine, we have to become like a new wineskin. You guys get me? Yeah. Flexible, open, willing to stretch. And this is what the heart of what it means to be reformed is. The reformers never imagined a church as static or finished. We say the church reformed, always being reformed according to the word of God. And that doesn't mean change for change's sake or trend chasing. It means trusting that the Spirit keeps pouring new wine and new movements of grace, new people, and new challenges into our communal life. And if we try to fit all of that life into yesterday's containers, they'll burst. And the gospel will not be contained in old wineskins. Because the Spirit is always reshaping us. Our worship, our structures, our sense of community, so that we can hold on to the good news of our time. We honor the old wine, yes, we give thanks for it, but we also dare to trust that the same God who once poured it is still pouring now. And so we stretch. We become new wineskins. God needs us to be. Because friends, belonging always begins with God. It is God who speaks first, God who claims us before we can claim God, and that's the heart of the covenant. From Abraham to Sarah, to Moses and Miriam, to the prophets and the psalmists, God says again and again, you are mine. I will be your God and you will be my people. It's not a promise which is conditional. It does not expire. It is rooted in God's steadfast love. We do not belong because we have the right resume. We do not belong because we give enough or serve enough or pray enough. We belong because God is enough and we are enough for God. And when we talk about God's choice, sometimes what our tradition calls election, we don't mean that God picks favorites. We mean that God chooses us for service, chooses us for welcome. Abraham was chosen to be a blessing to nations. Israel was chosen to be a light to the Gentiles. The church is chosen to bear witness that in Christ, all are one, and there's no separation. Because belonging is never a private club. It's a grace that gathers us in and then pushes us outward so the circle, thanks be to God, keeps widening. You see, our life together is communal. That's what church is. Paul tells us in his first letter to the church in Corinth, we are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Because belonging means interdependence. It means that your gifts matters. It means you matter. It means your presence matters. When you are not here, something is missing. When you struggle, the body struggles with you. When you rejoice, the body rejoices with you. That's why we Presbyterians lead together and discern together and live our faith out together, because we are not lone rangers. We are part of a covenant people. And when we say we belong to God, it's also to say we belong to one another. And that presses us to dismantle barriers and to widen the table and to stand with the least of these, to ask hard questions, to do hard things. Because belonging, when it's real, will always stretch us. It will make us tender. It will make us courageous. It will make us more like Christ. And friends, I already see it in the heartbeat of our life together here in worship. At events outside these walls, we show up at Pride and march with our siblings. We ring our tower bell, showing people who we are and that you're welcome. It's an invitation to the banquet. You belong, come and see. And at breakfast, every cup of coffee we pour says, you matter. You belong to us. And at parish events or Maundy Thursday dinners, around the table at someone's home, stories are told and laughter rings out and friendships form, and that's belonging made real. And here at the Lord's table, when we break the bread and we lift the cup, we proclaim Isaiah's vision. God's peace is for all, and death will not have the last word. And it's not just a dream. It's the heartbeat of the gospel. A table where all are fed, a party where joy is contagious. A community flexible enough to grow and to stretch with the Spirit. A people willing to be reformed again and again so that the new wine of God's kingdom can be poured and shared. A witness that says to a lonely world, you belong. This is what church could be. And by God's grace, this is what church is and what church shall be. Friends, this is the heartbeat of church, and it's already pulsing here among us. I felt it my first Sunday, I feel it now, and I hope that you do. But it won't sustain itself. God provides the vision, Christ sets the table, Spirit fills the room, and then the Spirit looks at us and says, now, live it like it's true. So here's the invitation. When you walk through our doors, don't just immediately look for your friends. Look for somebody who's new, the one who wonders if they belong. Be that hand on their shoulder and the smile that says, yes, this table is for you too. When you show up at breakfast or march the streets or stand at a festival booth handing out flowers, remember you're not just serving food or handing out flyers. You are proclaiming that you're proclaiming your presence to everyone you meet. And you're saying, hey, you matter and you belong. You are welcome with us. And when you gather around your own family tables, open them even wider. And when you pray at night, let your prayer stretch to those who need to hear it, those who are still waiting for the good news. Because friends, the world is aching for it. We're in a world fractured by division and exhaustion and loneliness and hungry for meaning. And we're longing for communities where we don't have to earn belonging. Communities like this one, where grace is abundant, where joy is contagious. And that's central. And to the folks here who are visiting for the first time, or the fifth time, or the 50th time, to the people online who are looking for connection, no matter where in the world you are, to the lost, to the lonely, and to the ones who have just stumbled in upon us, I want to say to you, there's a place for you here. You belong here. You always have, and you always will. We have a seat saved for you, and we need you. We need you in your grief. We need you in your joy. We need you in your hurting and in your healing. We need your holy witness to help us grow. Because belonging doesn't just invite others to the table, it invites us to be changed too. And isn't that what it's all about? Because the truth is, the Spirit isn't done with us yet. And the wine is still fermenting, and the feast is still unfolding. And we, this community, get to keep becoming the wineskins God needs for the moment. This is a church where belonging is made real. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.